You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
The South African Revenue Services provided a revenue announcement earlier today around the preliminary estimates of revenues collected for the financial year. Joined on the line by SARS Commissioner Edward Kiesvetter to reflect on these pronouncements and the presentation that was delivered earlier today. Good evening, Commissioner. Thank you so much for the time. As always, it looks as though it's been another good year and we're still on track for Vision 2025.
Well, we are coming out of a very tough year that provided a very pleasing revenue outcome. So yeah, I think the strategic intent, the focus remains, and we will continue to build on the foundation that we have laid. Of course, we also today, in addition to announcing the results of the past year, also gave a five-year review.
And Commissioner, alongside that, of course, it's been a five-year review with yourself at the helm, having been appointed in 2019. And now that your contract has been extended by another 2 years, you'll be able to see through the Vision 2025 mandate that was laid out when you took office. The last time you and I spoke, we looked at revenue being heavily reliant on a couple of factors, and one of those being economic performance. We'll dig into some of the other factors in a bit, but let's start with the economic performance side of it. How has that impacted the revenue collections this year?
Well, during economic challenges, generally the collection of tax revenue is just so much harder because people are cash-strapped, businesses are not performing as well as they would like to, but also there is, in our experience, we still have a significant component of criminal activities that looks at everything, including how they can steal money from the fiscus, for example, by not declaring honestly, by overstating the expenses, by masking revenue. So in tough economic times, that just becomes so much harder. And so this year, you will have heard in the announcement a significant focus on what we call compliance revenue, because we knew that in an economy that was only going to expand by 4.3, recently revised to 4.9, jobs were not created as one would have hoped for. Corporate profits were not in all instances as buoyant as one would have hoped for. And so we really had to dig deep, leave no stone unturned. And that's normally the case, but in economic challenging times, this work just becomes more important.
Commissioner, we'll look at the stones that you have not left unturned in a second. I want to come to the illicit activities and the impact that that has had on collections. We know that things like the illicit cigarettes market has gone up from being a 5% component of the overall market to as high as 54% in 2022. How is that, or those sorts of activities, as you alluded to, impacting on the revenues that could be collected or the revenues that are missed out on? And while we're looking at that, can we look at the 6 billion rand in customs seizures that were successfully executed by SARS in the year?
What's interesting is that my colleagues around the world report that the biggest risk, one of the biggest risks to our work as revenue administrations, is syndicated cross-border crime. And we find increasingly that taxpayers who commit these crimes, as we found in many of the state capture casualties like Eskom and Transnet, that it takes more than just one person to commit this crime. You typically need enablers. You need, you know, buyers and sellers across borders. And you mentioned the tobacco and cigarette industry as a classical example where we are currently involved in this matter. It's on the public record, where we've had to seize several billions of rands from the particular syndicate that are currently under investigation. We've handed over the matter to the Hawks and the NPA to help us. But what is sad is that a lot of the enabling required public officials to work with these criminals. It required professional enablers, you know, to work with these as we have seen in the state capture cases, at every scene of this crime, there was a bank, there was a consultant, there was an audit firm. And so we find that the networked criminal activities is really one of our biggest risks and depriving the fiscus. Recently, the announcement that by one of the universities of the loss to the fiscus, you know, from the tobacco industry just underscores how that is eroding tax revenues, but also importantly, it erodes social fiber and social cohesion. We have worked quite hard to identify many of the players in this network, and we will be making more announcements about that in the coming months. But we also have to rely on the Hawks, we have to rely on the NPA, because it is our wish that those who have perpetrated the crime directly or who have enabled it must be brought to book.
I suppose that would then answer the question I had following up around that, around litigation and litigation in the context of these organized perpetrators, the likes of Steinhoff, that we've seen in the media in quite clear evidence that there has been some wrongdoing and that this will require investigation. But we'll follow up on those, I suppose, as those investigations unfold. I know some of them are ongoing, and for that reason, you might not be able to comment on that. Commissioner, let's look at the refunds. 414 billion rands in refunds. That is an increase from last year, but obviously there are still concerns from your office around the possibility or the propensity to commit a refund fraud here. What is your team doing to mitigate this with all the AI and all the technological developments you guys have been putting in place?
Yeah, so as we said, you know, refund is a coin with two sides. On the positive side, it's great when we are able to return monies into the hands of taxpayers, especially when they are themselves strapped. It was pleasing that 120 billion of the refunds were paid to SMMEs, 37 billion to individuals. But the flip side of the coin is we also see every year an increase in the assault by unscrupulous actors in the economy, criminals, if I may call it as blunt as that, who seek to claim refunds that they are not entitled to. Some of the examples of the fraud we see is people creating fake invoices that they submit so that they can claim expenses that they didn't incur. Some companies come into being, register for VAT, or they buy off-the-shelf companies. They have no intention to trade. They will exist for a few months, claim their input VAT, and then 4 months later, they would just disappear off the radar. We find, we call that, you know, phoenixes, because they then just appear in a different legal form and they continue. So we have had, over the last few years, a significant effort using data science and artificial intelligence, where every single refund, declaration rather, runs through a not just a tax processing calculator to arrive at the tax outcome. It also goes through a set of algorithms that looks for anything that might be flagged or alerted as a risk. To give you an example, we process over 4 million VAT returns in a year. Of that, we have 1 out of every 10 will be alerted for a risk at the moment. So about 90% of the refunds will go through, and it will be processed, and the refunds will be paid out. But of those that we then stop, we find a high percentage of those are just blatant crime. This year, that work using data science and machine learning algorithms have saved the fiscus over 100 billion rand. And we've also seen, therefore, whereas the previous 2 years, for various reasons, refund grew year on year by 20%, this year, because of the change in expenditure, inflationary increase on cost, which drives refunds, we've also seen the slowdown of growth to 8.7%. And so we are pleased that we are beginning to see the results of the refund fraud detection work that we are doing. 110 billion rand is not insignificant in the bigger scheme of things.
Mm. Commissioner, speaking of things that have slowed down, corporate income tax is down 8.9%. When we last spoke in February after the budget speech, we discussed the global tax framework that was being implemented by countries like South Africa going forward. Are we expecting that this new framework will relieve some of the pressure on the corporate income tax collection side of it as we continue to go forward? I know it's still very, very early stages to see its effects, but going forward into the next financial year, are we expecting to see some windfall from here?
Well, not a windfall initially. I think in the outer year, colleagues in Treasury have penciled in 8 billion. But there are a lot more moving parts before we even get to that. We see, for example, that provisional taxes contracted by 35.8 billion rand, and the main candidate there is a contraction in the mining sector, almost 42 billion down, and the manufacturing sector that declined by 5 billion. That obviously is also particularly constrained by the logistics and the electricity challenges that mines in particular face with, but also a slowdown in a slowing down effect in commodity prices, a combination of which makes the mining sector one of the sectors that have slowed down. But we've seen encouraging growth in the finance sector, for example, growing by 5.8 billion. In the electricity sector, largely as a result of renewable energies, growing by 2.2 billion. So we do see that the rest of the economy in the corporate sector and segment is actually growing. In particular, we reported today the five top sector contributions, which is finance, which contributes 43% of total taxes, community and public and services, which includes the government wage bill. We've seen an increase of 6%, in manufacturing an increase of 5%, wholesale 9%, and transport and logistics 4.9%. So it's not all bad news, but we also find that we've had to step up our compliance activities because, and we've had a couple of big wins this year in court by companies trying to structure themselves out of their tax obligations, which brings me to the need for the global minimum tax, as you pointed out, by the inclusive framework that is being developed under the auspices of the OECD. What that will do is it will just level the playing fields, because now, regardless of where you are, you cannot move your tax base because you want to reduce your tax to zero. So wherever you are, any company that's domiciled in South Africa who for any reason will have an effective tax rate below 15% will have to pay a top-up tax that brings them to 15%. We also have had in this framework the nexus or the condition that determines taxing rights, which traditionally have been physical presence, will now move to electronic presence. So companies like Google and Amazon and other global companies, they may not be physically in South Africa, but they are here economically. And in the past, they've not paid any income tax here. So the second principle is that they will take their profit above 15% and they will allocate that in proportion to the economic presence. So South Africa will also benefit from that. So what it does is it reduces the arbitrage that companies, large companies in particular, exercise by moving their tax base around using a phenomenon called transfer pricing or base erosion practices.
Well, we'll leave it at that, Commissioner. We wish you continued success in your efforts. We know that, as you mentioned, those cases that you've taken to court have an 84% success rate in terms of litigation. So SARS is clearly very hard at work in terms of making sure that the organization rebuilds from what we saw happen pre-2019. Thank you so much, Commissioner. That's SARS Commissioner Edward Kiesvetter joining me to reflect on the collections from a revenue perspective that our receiver of revenue went through in this year.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.